God's blessings to you as we look at Psalm 12 for our Bible study this particular week. And as always, we want to begin with prayer. Lord, guide us as we look at this Psalm of David, written very long ago, and yet describing things that are still a problem and a difficulty for us today, and are often discouraging for us as God's people, as we see so much evil around us in the world. Help us to realize that that's true in every generation, and that the problems that we see are not brand new problems, and that you always have help and strength for us, especially through your words and your promises in Christ. Bless us and bless this time of study for all of us as we look closely at your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading the Psalms recently and read Psalm 12 as one of those, and next week might do Psalm 11, which has some interesting things as well. But at any rate, I thought that this Psalm, Psalm 12, sounded very much like what many people say about the culture and the spiritual situation of our own day. And I never thought of it in quite this way before. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I read the scriptures, certain parts of them sound almost brand new to me, and there are new insights that are there, and might be simply because I'm getting older and forgetting things that I knew in the past. But however that works, God is at work, and he helps us to learn through his word. And see what you think about how this speaks to our own day. And I'll be using, along with this, some helpful notes from Dr. Walter Rares, who wrote an earlier version of the Lutheran Study Bible. This was called the Concordia Self-Study Commentary, and he did an Old Testament portion of that, produced by our Concordia Publishing House. So I'll use some of his thoughts and want to give him credit for those things too. As the psalm begins, Psalm 12, verse 1, David is crying out to the Lord, "Help! Save, O Lord," he says, because there seem to be very few godly and faithful people left as he looks around the world in which he lived at that time. And this is a feeling that people often have when there are times of great trouble and persecution. And I hear people saying the same things today. When Elijah was being pursued by the evil Queen Jezebel, who was worshiping false gods and was trying to kill him, he thought that he was the only one left faithful to God's covenant in all of Israel. But God comforts him and tells him that there are still 7,000 who had not gone over to false gods like Baal. And you can find that story in 1 Kings chapter 19 and a little bit before and after that as well. But especially in verse 10, where Elijah says that there's nobody left faithful but him, and God reassures him in verse 18. Isaiah also, in his book of prophecy, wrote, "The righteous man perishes, and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away, while no one understands." It seems like evil is overcoming good, and we don't know what all is going on here. As Isaiah 57, verse 1 says, the prophet Hosea also wrote, "There's no faithfulness or steadfast love," speaking about his own time, "and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed." Sounds like what a lot of people say today, too, with the increasing crime and trouble going on, and murders and other things in so many places. And that Hosea said the same thing. You can find that in Hosea 4, 1 to 2. The prophet Micah wrote, "The godly has perished from the earth. There's no one upright among mankind. They all lie in wait for blood, and each hunts the other with a net. Again, Micah 7, verse 2. Things look very bad in his own day, too. And things look so bad at various times, because once sin came into the world, sin spread, and it's a continuous problem that people struggle with, and that even as Christians, we struggle with it. Though David does say in Psalm 4, verse 3, I know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. As bad as it looks, the Lord still is caring about his people, and he's watching over the godly. And there always are some. And the Lord continues his people and his church and blesses them. Well, in Psalm 12, verses 2 to 4 then, David continues to speak about how bad things are in his own time. Everyone lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. A double heart. We'll think about that in a moment. And tongues make great boasts, and people say, with our tongues we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Get a picture image of double-hearted people say one thing and then another, and people who are just interested in what they say and what they think, and nobody can be a master over them and their own ideas and their own opinions. And again, we hear a lot of that today too, don't we? We have similar terms today to double-hearted people. People speak with a forked tongue, sometimes it's said. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. They are two-faced. James himself in the New Testament, the Apostle James, called a double-hearted person a double-minded person, thinking all different ways, unstable in all of his ways, not with the stability and strength that the Lord would wish for him. And that's in James 1, verses 6 to 8. To warn about bouncing all around and without the stability that our Lord would want to give to us. And James also warned in the book of James about the dangers of a tongue. And we just heard about people speaking all kinds of things their own way. The dangers of a tongue, which can be, James says, a restless evil full of deadly poison, as people say terrible things about one another and challenge God himself and so forth. And you could read much more about that in James chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. And again, don't we see around us today many people who change the meaning of words into whatever they want for themselves and demand that others must accept their point of view because they are their own boss and their own have their own way of doing things, and nobody should challenge that. For example, and we all know these things, we hear about them continually, to some there are no longer two genders, male and female, as the Bible says and as science also says, with very rare exceptions. But many genders, people say. Whatever people choose to say that they are, they can be. And with all kinds of meanings to that those words, new meanings that don't fit science or scripture. Men can also call themselves women if they think they are, though God himself and their genes and their bodies still say they are men. And yet what a distortion there is in so many ways today too. Tongues are saying all kinds of things that don't have a connection with reality at all. I just saw in the news, I think it was today, that there are some groups that are claiming that being pregnant is like measles. It's an illness for people, and it creates troubles and difficulties for them. Where again, the scriptures say that God made male and female and created a way by which the world could continue And it's not a disease to be pregnant. Again, just a distortion of things that God would say and changing things in so many ways. And people become then a law unto themselves. And they reject God and his word and reject prophets like Jeremiah. And we hear from Jeremiah 18, verse 18, people speaking against him and saying, "Come, let us strike him with our tongues. Let us not pay attention to any of his words." Though in fact God had sent Jeremiah, and they were the very words of God himself. But people ignore, reject, speak against even God and his word. And again, in the midst of all of this, it may not seem like it, but God knows and sees what's going on. We have many scriptures that make that clear from what God has revealed through his prophets and what he has them say throughout the scriptures. David goes on to say, again, back in Psalm 12 in verses 3 and 5, God cuts off flattering lips. He doesn't care for people who just want to make themselves look good at the expense of others or expense of God and his will. And God cares about people who are spiritually poor and needy, certainly those who are physically poor and needy, but here it could also, we could also understand those spiritually poor and needy and groan because they are hurt and plundered by false and hateful and hurtful words and ideas and the danger that all of that brings to people. And the Lord says in verse 5, I believe that it is. Let me just check that for sure. Yes. Because of this, I will arise, God says. I will place my faithful people in safety for which they long. They're bothered by all of this trouble, and God knows. And he's watching over and caring for his faithful people. Though sometimes we feel overwhelmed by all that's around us. And the Lord can and will help us through very difficult days too. When sometimes it feels like there are fewer faithful believers in the Lord and it's hard to hang on to what we believe and know to be true as God's people and true to God's word. Jesus himself said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 3 to 6, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." People know they are spiritually poor and need help from the Lord in their struggles, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn over their sins and are sorry for them and are trying with God's help to go the right way. They shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in a crazy, wild world with so many things that don't seem right or good. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The Lord's going to take care of his people. David, if we go back again to Psalm 12, verse 6, also says, "The words of the Lord are pure words. They are like well-refined silver. They're valuable and important for us." All of God's words, when we read and listen to them, instead of the false and misleading and self-centered words heard so much and so often today. And the scriptures also help us to test what we hear through the word of God, comparing what people are saying with God's word. For again, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "For God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path." And we hear in 2 Timothy 3, 16, "All scripture is breathed out by God." God had a reason for giving every bit of it. "And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof," which means helping people to see when something is wrong, "for correction, point us in the right way, and for training then in what it means to be good and right and to follow our Lord, and what is really right and really good. And above all, in 2 Timothy 3:15, right before that passage we just talked about, the scriptures keep pointing us to Christ Jesus as our Savior and our salvation, the center of the scriptures, and salvation through faith in Him. And Jesus lived in this world. He knows our struggles and temptations. He was tempted as we are, the scriptures say, and yet He never sinned. And He overcame all those sins and those troubles for us in His saving work in our place by His life and death and resurrection for us. He forgives us, too, when we realize we have listened too much to the ways of the world. It's so easy to let that happen. And we admit to our own failings and confess them to our Lord. Our Lord restores us, and He helps us to follow Him again. The psalm and other scriptures are reminding us that there will always be some in every period of time who are a crooked and a twisted generation. Deuteronomy 32:5 uses that term, a crooked and a twisted generation, even in the time of God's Old Testament people. And then that passage is picked up in Philippians 2, verse 15, by Paul as well, about his own day, a crooked and twisted generation. Jesus Himself said twice when He was here on this earth, an evil and an adulterous generation seek for a sign, always wanting a sign, prove this to us, show us this. And He said twice, but no sign will be given it but the sign of Jonah. The idea of Jonah being in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and then was rescued. And that parallels the death of Jesus and His being in the grave for 3 days and then His resurrection. And that's in Matthew 16, verse 4, but also in chapter 12, verses 39 and 40. David also wrote in Psalm 12, verse 8, on every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of men. In other words, we can't escape evil being around us, no matter what time or period in which we live. Sometimes are rougher than others. And we might be in a rough time right now as God's people, trying to stand up for what's right and true. But David also says in Psalm 12, verse 7, You, O Lord, will keep Your people, Your believing people. You will guard us always from an evil generation that is around us, whatever the time is. And sometimes we think we're just in the toughest of times. It's always been difficult. But the Lord is with us, and that's God's great promise and our great hope as we stay close to Christ and to His Word and His sacraments. And you have promises like, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He's the one we trust above all, no matter what the time or circumstance. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He'll always provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. We don't always take that escape, and we sin and we fail, but we have a Savior who keeps working with us and trusting us, and we trust Him, I should say, and He helps us through those times and forgives us. And then we have, that's from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and then we have that passage that's often used at the end of a sermon. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's our hope in Christ above all, and His good news, and the strength He'll give to us, and that He'll guard us and help us as God's people. Well, it's a great psalm, and a psalm that I think speaks to us in our own day, too, and encourages us in many ways as God's people. So let us close with prayer. Lord, we ask You to help us to take to heart what You say in this psalm, that even though there's a lot of trouble around us and a lot of confusing things that are going against you and your will, help us to keep trusting that you will help us through and keep us close to your word and thinking about things in light of your words and your promises to us. And above all, seeing Christ and the hope that we have in him as his people. Bless us in all of these things, and bless us as we continue to think about the words of Psalm 12 and many other scriptures that tell us the same things. It is in the name of Christ our Savior we pray, and just pray for many troubled people and troubled situations all over the world. And we pray confidently in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.